This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Monday. Of course, you know what we're going to do this hour. We're going to get to Medal of Honor Monday in a couple moments. We're going to talk about cleaning up the cities. Trump says he's going to go into San Francisco. Talk about more of this, the results of diversity hiring, Trump shouting at Zelensky, more layoffs in the DEI industry, all that and so much more coming up on the Jesse Kelly Show, but not right now, because right now you know what we're going to do. Every hour, well, not every hour, every Monday at the start of the second hour, we do Medal of Honor Monday. We take a hero, we say his name. We read his citation, talk about his deeds, because it is important. He deserves to be remembered. What he did deserves to be remembered. And more importantly, our children need to hear about these people, because they need to know that's the kind of person you want to be. This is how we create a new generation of heroes. And of course, we take email suggestions. Always have, always will. Jesse at jessekellyshow.com. Jesse. My wife and I recently moved to a wonderful small town outside of Charleston, South Carolina. Gosh, I love Charleston. I was reviewing the agenda for our upcoming council meeting and came across a project the county is working on to create a statue and monument to Sergeant First Class Christopher A. Seles. Did some digging. He was born and raised in our town. He met his wife while the two were attending a local high school. Spent some time attending the Citadel, and later enlisted in the Army, eventually earned a spot as an Army Ranger. He was awarded the Medal of Honor for his actions in Afghanistan in 2018. My kids are a little young for war stories, but I look forward to the day they are old enough so I can share Sergeant First Class Seles' story with them. Thought it might be a good one for you to share with your audience. Much appreciated. Semper Fi, brother. And his name is Chris, also a veteran of the GWAT, the Global War on Terror. So, born in Somerville, South Carolina, let's find out about Mr. Christopher Andrew Seles, U.S. Army.
Ready, aim, fire.
Honoring those who went above and beyond, it's Medal of Honor Monday.
Sergeant First Class Christopher A. Seles distinguished himself by conspicuous gallantry above and beyond the call of duty while engaged with the enemy in Paktia Province, Afghanistan on July 12, 2018. As the leader of a special purpose unit comprised of partnered forces and members of the 1st Battalion, 75th Ranger Regiment, Sergeant First Class Seles led an operation to clear an area of enemy forces and thereby disrupt future attacks against the government of Afghanistan and allied forces. Shortly after his team reached their final objectives, a large enemy force attacked, placing effective fire on him and his team, preventing them from maneuvering to counterattack. Realizing the danger the attack posed to his team and the operation, Sergeant First Class Seles voluntarily exposed himself to intense enemy machine gun and small arms fire to retrieve and employ a heavy weapon system, thereby allowing U.S. and partnered forces to regain the initiative, maneuver to a secure location, and begin treatment of a critically wounded partnered force member. As a medical evacuation helicopter arrived, it was immediately engaged by accurate and sustained enemy fire.
Knowing how critical it was to load the casualty, Sergeant First Class Saliz willingly exposed himself to heavy enemy fire to direct and lead the evacuation. As the casualty moved from a position of cover and out into intense enemy fire, Sergeant First Class Saliz made a conscious effort to ensure his body acted as a physical shield to his team carrying the casualty and the crew of the aircraft. As the casualty was loaded and Sergeant First Class Saliz's team returned to cover, he alone remained at the aircraft, returning a high volume of fire and constantly repositioning himself to act as a physical shield to the aircraft and its crew. With his final reposition, Sergeant First Class Saliz placed himself directly between the cockpit and the enemy, ensuring the aircraft was able to depart. As the helicopter lifted off, Sergeant First Class Saliz was hit by enemy fire. Fully aware of his own injury, but understanding the peril to the aircraft from the intense enemy machine gun fire, Sergeant First Class Saliz motioned to the aircraft to depart rather than remain behind to load him. His selfless actions saved the life of the evacuated partnered force member and almost certainly prevented further casualties among other members of his team and the air crew. Throughout the engagement, Sergeant First Class Saliz significantly changed the course of battle by repeatedly placing himself in extreme danger to protect his team, defeat the enemy, and it ultimately cost him his life. Sergeant First Class Saliz's extraordinary heroism and selflessness above and beyond the call of duty were in keeping with the highest traditions of military service and reflect great credit upon himself, his unit, and the United States Army. And we're going to play taps for this warrior. Rest in peace, brother. All right. So I don't know if you saw the news. It dropped an hour ago, something like that, where Trump got permission. I don't know why he needs it, but permission to go into Portland now. And he sent the National Guard into Portland, these places. And I'm looking at a headline here. Trump vows to make San Francisco great again. He's going to go into San Francisco. And I want to be clear about a couple things. First, stopping crime is important. It's a big deal. And in some ways, it's the biggest deal. And I'll explain why. When people fear for their physical safety, they will endure whatever they have to endure to get that to stop. There's just something palpable about it. It's something we've discussed before. When someone feels like they are physically in danger, they will do whatever, agree to whatever, pay whatever to get it to stop. America's cities are disgusting, crime-ridden, filthy dumps. And the good people who reside in those cities, yes, there are many good people who reside in those cities. The good people who reside in those cities have every right to want it to stop. And an American president wanting it to stop, wanting to make these places safe, wanting to make them great, is good. It is good. It is good to look at San Francisco and say, I want that cleaned up. I have actually never stepped foot in San Francisco. For most of my childhood, I was told by people who travel that it is the coolest American city, that it is beautiful and awesome. Now, because of communist rule, it is mocked internationally. There are apps for your phone you can download that track the human poop because there's so much of it on the street. I know somebody who lived in San Francisco, and she said her car got broken into so many times that she would leave signs on the car windows saying, "There's nothing of value in here. Please don't break my windows again." To have that take place in a modern country like America is such a disgrace, because Democrats are sick, evil, and demonic, but we'll set that aside. Going into places, like wanting to go into San Francisco and clean it up is good. Chicago, Portland, New York City. It's good to want Americans to stop being victimized by crime. But we have to have a talk about temporary solutions versus lasting solutions. And we're going to do that in a moment. In fact, we're going to do that right now. Reaching for a pill bottle is a temporary solution to your pain. It's going to buy you a few hours of feeling better. But then it wears off and you're back to having your back hurt, your neck bothering you. Why don't you go for a solution that lasts? Relief Factor is wonderful because it's not trying to treat a symptom. It's going to the root of the problem, the inflammation. It is 100% drug-free. We're talking about a supplement here. You take it every day. It builds up in your body. The longer you take it, the better it works. Your body needs help fighting that inflammation. What if you could wake up 3 weeks from now and your wrist doesn't hurt anymore? Your shoulder feels good. Your back. Try it. 3 weeks is $19.95. It's less than a buck a day. Isn't that worth a shot? If it doesn't work, don't call him back. 1-800-4-RELIEF or relieffactor.com. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Monday. Remember, you can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com, and we will get back to those emails here in a few. I just want to talk about the sending National Guard into these cities. So let's separate a couple things. First, ICE going into these cities where the illegals are is 100% good, right, lawful, and justified. And sending in troops to protect ICE from the street animals, good, right, and justified. All these things are good and right and justified. I'm talking about the idea of sending in the National Guard to address crime the way it was done in D.C. All of a sudden, D.C. is sparkling and it's safe and everyone's thinking to themselves, well, let's get that everywhere. Well, here's the reality of it. We'll make it about San Francisco because that's the one that came up today. If you, let's say you send in the National Guard, the Marines, the Rangers, whoever, you send them into San Francisco and you've got them patrolling the streets. All of a sudden, the poop is cleaned up. The crime has gone away. No more break-ins, no more murder, no more drugs, and things are good. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. But it is also a temporary thing because you are treating the symptom, not the actual disease. The disease of crime in major cities is coming from the judiciary itself. I could sit here for the next 2 hours on the show and read you headline after headline after headline, just like this. This one's from Libs of TikTok. Jacqueline D. Grant, a Democrat-appointed judge, sentenced Leif Brynoff to just 15 days in jail and probation after he was convicted of assault for violently confronting an elderly wheelchair-bound man and a 12-year-old during Trump's visit to Hurricane Helene victims. He also pulled a knife as police attempted to escort him from the victims. 15 days in jail.
And I don't have to read more because we talk about these stories so many times. Guy's been arrested 30 times. Guy's been arrested 40 times. Guy's been arrested 50 times. Now, this animal, these animals, let's say all these animals are all gathered in one neighborhood in San Francisco. Can we stop them from doing animal things by putting the troops on the streets? No question. No question. They'll hide inside. They'll be good little boys. But that's not going to last. You know it and I know it. And we don't want it to last. We have to handle the judge problem. You know El Salvador? That Bukele, the guy who gets, he's the El Salvadorian leader, in case you don't know who I'm talking about. El Salvador was really the murder capital of the world. It was a country that was run by gangs. And now it is, I believe, the safest country in the Western Hemisphere. Not only is it safe, it's sparkling clean. We are considering taking a vacation there because I've been told it's affordable, clean, and so safe you can walk your wife down the street in the middle of the night, no problems whatsoever. It's that safe. How did he do that? Well, you know what gets famous? You know what you already know about? The big prison system. Everyone knows about that. You've already seen the pictures. You've already seen the video. We're sending illegals down there. Oh, well, that's what they did. No, that's part of what they did. You know what else they did? They impeached judges. Do you know that it became the most violent, disgusting country on the planet because violent, disgusting judges were letting criminals go free, light charges or no charges? I don't care how many CECOT, that's the name of the prison. I don't know how many CECOTs, I don't care how many you would build. You would never, ever, ever be able to clean up El Salvador until the judges who send those guys free were removed from the bench. The GOP right now, what they're doing is they're taking ibuprofen for a headache when the problem is the brain tumor. Sure, send in your National Guard. That's fine. Do this. Do that. The GOP is going to have to start attacking the root of this problem. And the root of this problem are the savages who wear judges' robes in this country. Legions of these communist activists are graduating law school every year, and they're not going into law for money. They're not going to prosecute criminals. They are going into law so they can make sure animals are on the street to murder and rape your daughter. That is why they went into the legal profession. It's why they seek out a spot on the bench. Until these judges are removed, we will never get a permanent solution to crime in this country. I don't care how many National Guard, Marines, Rangers, or Navy SEALs happen to be walking the streets of Chicago. The crime problem here will remain as long as the judges remain. That is simply a fact. The GOP is going to have to start getting more serious about permanent solutions. Have you heard a single member of the United States House of Representatives talk about impeaching judges in any serious way? One? If you have, it's not more than one or two. That's a serious solution. The National Guard's a Band-Aid. You want to fix the problem? Get rid of the judges. If you don't have the guts to do that, crime remains. There. We'll do some emails next. Before we do some emails, speaking of crime, a crime that's not even run down and hardly ever prosecuted is all this freaking data crime, meaning the theft of your data online. It's horrible. It's horrible how bad and pervasive this is, and nobody's coming to save these people, no one in law enforcement. There just aren't enough people to run down all of these things. So what's the result? The result is one day you have an empty bank account. One day your credit score is wiped out because somebody took out a mortgage in your name. Every day there's a news story about a data leak here and a data leak there. There was a leak here. Every single day there's a news story about it. Protect yourself with LifeLock. Don't get burned. And don't wait to call them after the worst happens. Call them now. 30 days for free right now. Right now they're doing a deal. 30-day free trial. You call 1-800-LifeLock or go to LifeLock.com. You give them the promo code Jesse. That gets you 30 days of it for free. They'll monitor it for you. If the worst happens, they make you whole again. LifeLock.com, promo code Jesse. Terms apply. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Monday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download it. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. So, I don't know how much longer the government shutdown is going to last, and I'm sorry about that. I have greatly enjoyed the government shutdown. I think it's been wonderful. Almost every single part of it has been spectacular to me. The thought of all these federal employees maybe even quitting so not getting paid, it's been wonderful. I've been really disappointed in how many firings there have been. I was promised that it'd be really bad. There have been whole agencies. I think it's been 4,000 people so far. But setting that aside, I think it might be coming to an end. Why? This is why.
This shutdown hasn't eaten into Donald Trump's support at all. His net approval rating is actually up a point in terms of his popular support. So the bottom line is this. The first shutdown during Trump's first term, 2018-2019, was hurting Donald Trump. This one is not hurting him at all. There's no real reason Donald Trump might say, at least when it comes to popular support, I want to get out of this shutdown.
Democrats, they shut down the government. They wanted something for it. They wanted to show their base they were standing up for something. But if it's not hurting Trump's popularity, that means it's hurting yours. If it's hurting yours, how long do you let it go on? Now, the problem for Democrats is they have been trying to get something for all this, trying to hold the government hostage to get something for it. Give us money for illegals. Give us something. I always assumed the Republicans would cave because, well, I mean, they're Republicans. That's what they do. But if the poll numbers haven't moved in the favor of Democrats, in fact, if the polls are getting worse for you, how long do you let this go on? How long can you let this go on? I don't know how much longer it's going to last. And if we have a 3-week shutdown, a 4-week shutdown, and it's only 4,000 government employees who have been fired, I will be unbelievably disappointed in the Trump administration. I was promised mass firings. I was promised the sword of God coming for the deep state. If it's 4,000 people, that is going to be shockingly unacceptable. Jesse, in the first hour of your show, you exhorted. That means encouraged. I know what exhorted means. Well, I didn't know exactly what it meant, Chris, but I've never used it in a sentence, but I could. I will now. I'm exhorting you to stop. Hey, did that work? It did. I knew it. You exhorted your listeners to go to their Secretary of State's website. Specifically, you said, whatever state you're listening to me from, your Secretary of State has an internet website. I am curious to know if there is any other kind of website besides those you find on the internet. I feel like saying internet website is like saying, literally, I have a copy of the transcript if you need it. Love your show, brother. Keep up the good work. That's friggin' rude, okay? I don't know all the words to use all the time, especially when it comes to these newfangled things like the internet, all right? Jesse, I was working the grill at the concession stand at a local high school football game. It was senior night. School recognized all the senior football players, cheerleaders, band members. There were about 20 kids recognized. The school is from a small inner city minority community in Pennsylvania. Of those 20 kids recognized, can you guess how many thank their fathers? The number is zero. They thank their mothers, their grandparents, their aunts and uncles, their neighbors, their friends, their boyfriends and girlfriends, but not one of them thanked the father. I assume it's because their fathers are not in their lives. It's very sad and tragic. I know how this happened, Democrat policies and commie influence on culture, but how does this crisis get fixed? Is there anything we can do to help our brothers who have not stepped up? Prison ministry? I don't know. Look, obviously he's talking about the problem of the black community, although fatherlessness has grown in the country exponentially over the past decades, but it's much more pervasive in the black community than anywhere else. to the tune of like 3/4 now. I think the last number I saw was 72-73%. And I want to remind you of a couple things. First of all, during a time where there was segregation in America, in the 1950s, do you know the percentage of black kids who grew up in this country with a two-parent home? 75%. 75% during segregation had mom and dad still in the home. This is at a time where they were oppressed in this country. Now that we've advanced, 75% grow up without a two-parent home. Democrats did this on purpose. You know that, right? This all comes back to Lyndon Johnson, all that great society stuff. It's just how communists look at things. He looked at the black population of the country, and he wasn't concerned about racism. He wasn't concerned about them being treated like second-class citizens. He saw a voting bloc. And everybody has a price. Human beings, for all of human history, have been able to be bought by politicians. It's the oldest concept in the world. I forget who said it. It might have been de Tocqueville. I'm going to screw this up. I forget who said it about America, but it was he essentially said, I predict that America is going to be doing great until the public figures out they can vote for themselves large gifts from the public treasury. Politicians buy people's votes. Lyndon Johnson and the Democrats, they thought they had something. They figured out they had something. Hey, what if we pay them? What if we just pay them? And they did. And the result of that is so many kids growing up without their father because the financial incentive is not to have one. And it's so insanely, not just sad, insanely damaging for society because dads are so important. Dad, you know, as a child, you're supposed to have a dad and a mom. That's how we're created. You need both influences in your life, both young boys and young girls do. And I realize life's not perfect. Maybe you're in a single family household. Life's not perfect. That's the way it goes sometimes. But it is so damaging for society. But it's one of the most evil things out there. It's terrible. It is very, very bad in the black community. How do you fix it? Honestly, I don't even want to go into it because I don't know how you would fix it. Because in order to fix it, what would have to happen would be Republicans would have to actually take away an entitlement. And the next time Republicans take away an entitlement from somebody will be the first time Republicans take away an entitlement from somebody. Democrats love to pass these entitlement things. They love to hand them out. And then Republicans like to act indignant about it, but never actually do it. You don't get reelected by taking away people's government checks. You don't believe me? Ask any politician who's ever brought up Social Security or Medicare that just the idea of reforming them. It's not like you have to be some, you know, a battle axe that says, oh, eliminate them immediately. I'm not saying that. If you even bring up reforming them at all, it will most likely cost you your seat of power. You know who you can ask about that? Me, because that issue is the reason I'm not a sitting member of the United States Congress right now. I lost to Gabrielle Giffords by 4,000 votes. Why? Because she ran ad after ad after ad telling old people I was going to take away their Social Security. Enough of them crossed the aisle, and now, I mean, by the grace of God, I'm not sitting in Congress. This is how it works. People get addicted to their government checks of any kind. Doesn't matter what the government check is. Could be disability, Social Security, could be welfare, could be whatever it is. And so these things remain permanent. What is that great Reagan quote? The closest thing to eternal life on earth is a government program? I don't know how we fix something like that. Got to be some sort of a spiritual fix, I guess. I don't know how. All right. Let's talk about... Let's talk about jewel thievery. Let's talk about crime, though. I just mentioned earlier that this is not a temporary thing. Having crime, violent crime, be so prevalent here is not going to be fixed soon. It is not. This is, as long as we're stuck with these judges, This is how we have to learn to live. That means you have to take personal ownership of your safety. You cannot farm it out to the cops or your brother or your dad. You have to own your own personal safety. You, right now, if I'm 6'8", if I ran into you in the parking lot right now and I wanted to hurt you, could you stop me? What do you carry on you to stop me from hurting you? Byrna is legal everywhere. Their compact launchers are the size of a smartphone, pepper balls or tear gas balls. You will stop a bad man. You're not going to kill him. That's why they're legal everywhere. You don't need a permit. You will stop a bad man and you will live. It has already saved the lives of my listeners. BYRNA. Byrna.com. Get one. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Monday. Remember, you can email the show, Jesse at JesseKellyShow.com.
So I have to talk about potheads really quickly before we go talk about the jewel theft in France. There is a restaurant in the vicinity of our studio. It is one of those restaurants that's very clearly stoner based. You can tell by the names of their sandwiches and things like that. And the things they put on there, you know, have a cheese steak with cheese sticks and chicken fingers on it. Just, it's one of those types of places. Now, that said, it's friggin' delicious. It is so good. It's so delicious. All that's good. Here's the problem. We attempted to get some cheese steaks for ourselves a couple days ago. This is a couple days ago, right, Chris? A couple days ago. And we found out they have now adjusted their hours and they don't open until 4 in the afternoon. Potheads are lazy. That's what it is. Why are you shaking your head, Chris? Yes, they are. Pothead, what? Don't tell me they're not making their lunch money. This is a pothead thing. That's what this is. I'm telling you right now, this is laziness. These potheads are sleeping in till 3 in the afternoon, and then they're going to come in and make our delicious sandwiches. You know who isn't lazy? These jewel thieves in France. I just watched the movie Heat yesterday with my kids. Well, I tried to make my kids watch it, but I have really lame kids who didn't want to sit down and watch a movie about bank theft and big shootouts and cops. But I tried to make them watch Heat so they could learn how to be jewel thieves. Well, I mean, in cops. But did you see that the thieves stole the crown jewels in 4 minutes from the Louvre Museum? Chris, did you see this? They're getting in there with ladders. They're making off containing more than 1,300 diamonds. Now, let me ask you, before we get to the emails, and then we're going to make fun of Obama. We'll do some DEI stuff. We have all kinds of stuff coming. Be honest with yourself. You don't have to email me and let me know. Be honest with yourself. Are you rooting for them? Now, listen, this is what happens. Here's what happens. You immediately think to yourself, well, I shouldn't, because they're thieves and stealing things is wrong, of course. You think I shouldn't. So what I'll do is, I'm going to pretend like I'm not rooting for them, but deep down, and I'm sure this is because we all watch bank theft movies. We all watched Ocean's 11 and things like that where people steal things. Why do we root for them? Everyone knows I'm a bad person, even though I hate thieves. Everyone knows that too, but I hate thieves, but I'm so impressed. What, Chris? What? I root for them because I think I could do it on my life. Cross my heart and hope to die. Honestly, may God strike me down right now if I'm lying to you. While we were watching Heat yesterday, I actually at one point in time looked over at Aub and I said, I should have been a bank robber. And she rolled her eyes. In fact, her eyes may still be stuck rolled. How badly she rolled her eyes. What, Chris? What job would I want? We've already talked about this. I'm a wheelman, right? I am Jason Statham in the transporter. I am an amazing driver. I don't know why people have such a hard time accepting what a great driver I am. And it's not about speed. This is where other wheelmen get it wrong. It's not about speed. In fact, what I have can't really be taught. It's about instincts. I see things on the road other people don't see. Like you, Chris, you probably just drive. Me, I'm thinking several steps ahead, several cars ahead. If we're on a big, let's say we're on, it's four lanes on the highway, I can look up ahead, and I will look up ahead, and I'll see that car is swerving six cars ahead, but this guy's hitting brakes. If I get over now, I'll be able to get in with this flow of traffic and zoom around him. I just have these, it's from God. I don't want to take any credit for it. Jesus, thank you, Lord. It's from God. I have these instincts that make me an amazing driver. It's one of those things that I can't really put into words. Have you ever talked to a great chef, like a world-class chef? What? Don't make that face. How he just knows. He knows a little more, a little oregano. All that needs is a little bit more oregano, and that'll be perfect. That's how I drive. If I was part of a crew, because I would want a crew. I watched Heat last night. What did they call it? Scores. We're going to take scores, Chris. If I'm out there taking scores, I'm a wheel man. What? But now I can't be in the bank for the robbery? No. You don't understand. I'm running things from the car like Napoleon, right? You want me manning the maps and things like that. I'm going to coordinate from the car. Those guys on the front lines in the bank, they don't know. They can't time everything. Again, I just watched Heat. The cops are going to be here in 90 seconds. We have to get these bearer bonds now. And I'll be on the radio letting them know that. I'll already have the car fired up, air conditioning on. Everyone's going to be sweaty. I'm going to be no radio, of course. You know my rules. No radio in the car anyway. The kids are really starting to push back. Can we have some music? I don't let them do it. I make them put the phones away. The phones go in the center console. No music. But anyway, that's beside the point. I'm a born wheelman. Even if part of me wants to be in the bank vault, going through people's safe deposit boxes to get whatever, the fine jewels, the diamonds and stuff. Even if part of me wants that, I know how God made me, right? Plus, I'm so tall, if I went into the bank, mask or no mask, eventually I'm going to get busted. A wheel man, nobody knows. I could be a midget sitting behind the wheel. Nobody knows. I'll even get one of those seats that lowers all the way down. I could do it. Yes, I could. And look, now I would have to remember my glasses, but I could do it for sure. Let's talk about Obama and the death of DEI. Next.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.